Great. Okay. Good morning. My presentation today talks about proposed changes to soil taxonomy, and this is to incorporate proposals made by ICOMANTH. And what is ICOMANTH? In 1995, an international committee was created through the USDA and the National Cooperative Soil Survey Program, and its purpose was to study and incorporate anthropogenic soils into soil taxonomy. We since discarded the term anthropogenic soils and replaced that with human-altered and human-transported soils. There were objections to the use of that term. We have distributed 7 circular letters. We have asked for responses. Each letter had questions. There were responses. And then all of those responses were recorded. And all of this information that discusses soils like you see right here. We have natural soils compared to soils that have evidence of human alteration and human transportation and contain artifacts. Here's 2 more human-altered soils coming up. One is dredged material. One is landfill material. So how do we deal with these soils? How do we classify them? And where do you find that information? Well, first of all, if you visit the ICOMANTH webpage, and fortunately this website has been up long enough that if you Google ICOMANTH, you will hit this as your first selection. So you don't need to write down the URL. It comes up as your first choice. The second site is on the NRCS website where they detail all of their soils information. And if you go to technical references, which is where you find soil classification, you'll also find a link under the 1999 version of soil taxonomy, not under the keys, but if you click on the link for the 1999 full version of soil taxonomy, at the bottom of that page is a list of all proposed changes to soil taxonomy that are being considered and being asked for input and review by NRCS. Okay. Have we done any field validation? Yes, we have. The naming conventions for horizons, such as the caret, subordinate lowercase letter U, the master horizon M, and other such changes to the terminology, terms in lieu of texture, to incorporate artifact classes and whatnot, have been tested now for about 5 or 6 years, and they have received approval. They've been incorporated or will be incorporated in the next version of the field book for sampling soils. So these terms have been tested. We brought up the proposed changes I'm going to go through in a minute at the National Cooperative Soil Survey Conference meeting in Asheville in 2011. And this was discussed and decided that we would put these out and give one more year for review in the field by practitioners of all types, consultants, soil scientists, university people, NRCS soil surveyors, other soil surveyors. Okay. But just a quick overview of what types of modifications might be proposed. Well, we modified the definition of buried soils and we moved it. We're modifying, proposing to do those things. It has not been approved yet. We proposed modifications to the epipedons, to almost all of the epipedons. We added some diagnostic features in Chapter 3. We made some modifications and added a new family class in Chapter 17, which is at the back of the keys, which discusses the family classes. And we proposed a few other changes as well. But the purpose was to make the entry of the taxa for human-altered and human-transported soils, but to make the entry level uniform, because what we're existing with is the entire history of soil taxonomy. Various classes have been introduced at different levels, but most of those classes are unpopulated with soil series. Okay. Purpose was to enable rapid and easy creation of new soil series. So that was the second purpose. All right, let's go over the proposed changes to buried soils. Essentially, the definition for buried soils, which is critical to entering the key to soil orders, is scattered. Part of it's in chapter 1. Part of it was in chapter 3. And chapter 4. Now, all of it has not only been proposed to be moved to chapter 4, but to be placed into the key, or just before the beginning of the key, so that a person is instructed to identify whether a buried soil is present, and all of that information is placed right there. We also moved definitions for mantle and buried soil into chapter 3, where all of the other diagnostic information is listed. We propose that there be three types of materials that can be above a buried soil in order to identify it as a buried soil. And those not only include the mantle, which is the former definition of new material deposited on top of an older soil, but now we've added plague and epipeton, and that was always implied. We've just made it official, and then we've added human transported materials. And we standardized the depth, or proposed that the depth be standardized to 50 centimeters of material to cover the buried soil. The sliding definition right now is very confusing. Okay, proposal changes to epipetons. Oh my goodness, this is blasphemy. We actually are proposing a modification to the Moloch epipeton. And that almost, to me, I just almost feel like I'm treading on dangerous ground just to mention that. But it makes sense. We've got evidence. The phosphorus limits that we've collected over the years mean nothing as far as differentiating Moloch soils from those with anthropogenic influence. We just don't have the evidence. It actually proves that there is, you know, no distinction in the limits that were proposed. So we eliminated those. We've said that Moloch and umbric epipetons cannot contain human-altered and human-transported materials. I'm using the acronym HAT because it's just easier to say than the rest of it. We've said that soils with anthracic conditions are not cannot be Moloch or umbric epipetons, and soils that contain artifacts in the surface cannot be part of the Moloch epipeton. I think all of that was implied and understood. It just wasn't clarified and organized. For the anthropic epipeton, it's no longer limited to an aridic moisture regime, a typical aridic. It's now can be found in any moisture regime. And seriously, can you tell me that there are no human-created or altered or transported surface horizons anywhere in the world except in arid areas? I don't think you can. So we've moved those. We've added a list of evidence to help people identify an anthropic epipeton rather than just duplicating the definition of the Moloch epipeton and then making one or two minor changes. We've added depth limits. We've eliminated the phosphorus limits, and we have no organic carbon limits. Okay. Diagnostics that were added, I won't have time to go into detail on these, but we essentially defined the mantle and moved it from Chapter 1 into Chapter 3 where it belonged. We've identified human-transported materials and human-altered materials. This was a proposal made by Harry S. Warren about 20 years ago. He said, if you can identify a material, then you can begin to create and add classes. So this is our attempt. We have a list of evidence. We ask people to use the overwhelming majority of the evidence and best professional judgment. Artifacts have been defined and added, and we've added the manufactured layer contact that was already in soil taxonomy. It was in Chapter 18. I'm sorry. It didn't belong in Chapter 18. It belonged in Chapter 3, where all the other diagnostics did. Okay, now to the taxa, which is where I know most of the questions are going to come from today. And essentially, we tried, again, this was to streamline and uniform, make uniform the entry level for these classes. And so we looked at all of the classes that occurred above the subgroup level and asked, are they populated? Do they make sense? Or could they be just as easily identified at the subgroup and family level? And we thought that they all could. The biggest question in there, we had anthreps that were at the suborder level, but no soil series in any of these. So we proposed moving those into plagic and anthropic subgroups of all orders, not just inceptisols. The anthrocambics, again, unpopulated. They're probably out there, but they can be just as easily identified at the subgroup level. Eudorants and eustorants were soils that were human transported materials. I reviewed every existing soil series. They're all human transported materials. So we're moving those and down to subgroup level. And then all the xerants and toriarants were all human altered materials. These are deep plowed soils. All of those can be moved and identified. Okay. So in order to identify them, we had to come up with a way. So we came up with a list of terms that we think can be applied. They can be combined. They don't have to be used individually. These can be edited, altered, as the people that are testing this tell us and direct us to. But we have anthraltic, which just basically means altered by humans. Deep plowed soils, essentially. This is how we'll identify the aerants that are deep plowed. We have anthraquic modifier, subgroup modifier, and that's already existed. We can combine these. We can have anthropic humic, and so this would be an anthropic epipedon, such as a kitchen midden, that has high organic carbon. We can have an anthropic epipedon. This might be an anthropic epipedon that does not have much organic carbon. I think that makes a big difference if you do or don't. We can have anthropotic materials, and this identifies those aerants that were formed in mine spoils. We can have plagic and plagic haplic. These are already in existence. There are a series, so we had to leave those in there. We don't have them mapped in the United States. We know they exist in Europe, so we left them in there. But other examples, we can combine these things. So you can have an anthropic, an oxyaquic, any soil order except mollisols. These subgroups can be used in any soil order except mollisols because we have essentially defined the mollic epipedon as one that's unaltered. So human-altered and transported soils won't be mollisols unless somebody proposes that they are. Okay, new family classes. We came up with a control section. We came up with a definition. And essentially, you have to have a profound amount of the soil material needs to be made up of human altered or transported materials. So this prevents people from using these modifiers in soils that have 2 or 3 centimeters of altered material, have a trash bag that blew out of a Walmart parking lot and blew across a cornfield and got stuck onto a corn stalk. In other words, we wanted people to use common sense and to be able to apply this practically. So we defined a minimum thickness of material, and we tried to align it with existing depths and thickness materials already existing in soil taxonomy, so it'd be familiar for people to continue to use it. And this will be placed between particle size and mineralogy, but only in those taxa that have a preponderance of this material. Here's an example of some of the terms. Methanogenic, aquadensic, dredgic, spolic, metallic, mega artifactic. I know, it sounds like I'm naming dinosaurs here. But this is just an example. The full definition is online. All of these are defined. The proposal has 36 major points of entry, and they're all well documented and defined. I won't have time to cover them all here. Another thing we did do, though, is we did try to clean up the fact that some soils that are human-transported materials bury A horizons, and so some of these soils actually, if you follow the key now, would classify out as fluvents or other types of cumulic subgroups, and we put a disclaimer into every occurrence of the fluventic and cumulic subgroups to prevent human-altered and human-transported soils from falling out with natural soils. And then we ask people to use best professional judgment in identifying these soils because it's not always exactly clear. It's not always exactly clear in any soil order. Okay. We made proposed changes to the addition of anthropogenic landforms, and I won't have time to go over those, but this is an anthropogenic landform, and there's modifications in urban areas. And because of that, this is in conjunction with Phil Schoenberger and Doug Wysocki and the National Soil Survey Center. And this will be an ongoing process to modify this. I don't have time to go through it, but I think you'll like the modification. It basically adds more terms for identifying human-altered landforms. We have a short list. We're going to make it a more complete list. And then so the major questions, and this is the conclusion, how and where should taxa be added? And we looked thoroughly and found that the most efficient way was to add at the subgroup and the family level, and then, of course, the series level. How can human-altered and human-transported materials be recognized consistently? We really need a list of all. We listed evidence that can be used and exists now. Some is practical in the field. Some is must be done by laboratory methods. But there's a big list, and we ask people to use overall best judgment. And how can hat soil, so there's a fuzzy boundary, which it really is, how can they be allocated consistently? We hope that we can collect data and do some allocations based on data, but we're going to have to start with this testing phase. And will we be able to avoid to split existing series and remap areas? Oh my goodness, I typed in the wrong answer. The answer is yes. The way, I was correct. I was just exactly wrong. So essentially, we do not have to remap soils. We do not have to split existing soil series. We can add series easily. And that's my conclusion. Thank you.